In the Bible, you have narrative that tells us what God has done, either through himself or through others. And with that, the response, which is law. Law, our obedience is a response to God's saving act. It's not arbitrary, like God saved us, and oh, by the way, you're supposed to do. No. You see, it's the response. Our Lord encapsulates that when he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And you know already in Deuteronomy, there's the famous Shema, the famous prayer the Jews say three times a day, which sums up the law. Listen, Israel, Adonai your God, Adonai Echad, alone, and you shall love the Lord your God. So we have narrative, what God has done. And if we read that with faith, the power of those acts touch us, change us. Then you have law. How do we respond to God? It was a great boon when we found these, it was about 1929, found these tablets up in a town called Ugarit, which was an old town. It was, you had to dig it up, nobody there. And we saw there in those things, and in also some others, Hittite, another. I'm pointing this out because history helps us, you see, understand. And in those suzerainty treaties, you see, the motive for the vassal king to obey the chief king is gratitude. When your brother wanted to take the throne away from you, I had him taken care of. When this happened and this happened, you know, and now this is what you must do. If I go to war, you have to come to war with me. If some of my slaves escape, you'll send them back. But the motive is gratitude. That's why God starts the law with narrative. You saw what I did to the Egyptians and how I brought you to myself. And now if you wish to be my people, and he starts to give them the law. So the Torah, which means instruction, not norm, you know, is instructing us on how to express our gratitude to God. And then, so there's law, there's narrative, history, and law, and then there's wisdom, a whole other thing where reason is very much involved, reason enlightened by faith. Wisdom literature, we could call it theology literature, I suppose. And that's what we start today with Sirach. I'll tell you more about Sirach tomorrow. Otherwise, all you have is a Bible class. You won't have any preaching here. All wisdom comes from the Lord. That's how he starts. This is chapter 1, verse 1. All wisdom comes from the Lord. And with him it remains forever and is before all time. And then, before we think we're really smart, let's look and see how dumb we are. You see? The sands of the seashore, the drops of rain, the days of eternity, who can number them? Anybody going to raise their hand? I can do that. No, you can't. God. And this is the first thing we have to know about wisdom if we want to acquire it, right? Then I'm stupid. And the only way to wisdom is reverence, fear of the Lord. And so, and it goes on, heaven's height, earth's breadth, the depth of the abyss, who can explore these? And then, because this is the introduction, there is but one, Most High, all-powerful, creator, king, and truly inspiring one. Now this is this book, Ben Sirach. I want to touch on the gospel briefly. It was written as the grandson translated it from Hebrew into Greek. And he tells you it's not an easy job to do that, you know. And it's not. So then, luckily, that's the right word, providentially, we found a genitsa. You know how we have a sacrarium where we put holy things? If you're going to throw away a Bible, you just don't throw it away, right? Well, when a book or scroll who got old, they put it in the corner of the synagogue. There's a walled off place with a little window, and they just put it in there because you're not going to burn it, you're not going to destroy it, you're not going to throw it out. What do you do with this sacred text? You put it in there, and you get a new one. So you treat it with reverence. Well, we found one of those genitsa in Cairo, about 1929, if I remember. What a boon, because we had all these great texts now to look at, and we had a text of Sirach, parts of it anyway, in Hebrew. Because if you start the book of Hebrew, there's a prologue to it, in which he says, I'm translating my grandfather's work, and it's not an easy job to get stuff from Hebrew into Greek, because they're different kinds of languages. So what we have here now is, so who can know all this? There is but one, wise and truly awe-inspiring, seated upon his throne. There is but one, Most High, all-powerful creator, and so forth, you see. It is the Lord who created her wisdom, you see. He has seen her, taken note of her. And then, this beautiful phrase, he has poured her forth upon all his works. Look out the window. Drive down the road this time of year and see the trees, green, beautiful, the hills. That's God's wisdom. He created that, you see. And he poured wisdom out on all of it. Okay. Now, in the gospel, we continue where we stopped for, you know, Lent and all the rest. And I just want to, we start with verse 14 of chapter 9. That's right after the transfiguration. So they're coming down the mountain. Peter, James, and John with Jesus. And they see this big crowd, and the theologians are arguing with the other disciples. How come you can't do anything? We thought you were driving out demons, and you can't. Look how stupid you are. Not that they can drive them out either. So Jesus comes down. What's going on here? And so the fellow cries out, and our Lord just commands the demon, right? Unmute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. Whenever you pray deliverance, you have to do the second part of that too, so they don't come back. So, and then they say, how come we couldn't do that? And he says, this kind can only come out through prayer. Unless your heart is really in tune with the Father, you can't do this. Now, some of the old manuscripts have prayer and fasting, because fasting always goes with prayer. But I guess the best manuscripts don't have that. Now, just one more point and we'll go on. But was this boy an epileptic? No. He was possessed by a demon. Now, you know, the demon might have created some epileptic symptom. Almost all the commentaries tell us, well, it really was an epileptic. So this poor Jesus, he thought it was a demon. So he drove it out. And when the disciples asked him, how do we get rid of this kind? He doesn't say you'd look on a medical manual, does he? He says prayer and fasting. So this is a demon this poor kid had. And the Lord drove it out. Why? Because he is the living Son of God and totally obedient to the Father. And so, you see, the little boy became like a corpse, and he picked him up, gave him back to his father. Mercy.